Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Welcome to Congresswoman Elizabeth Esty, Democrat in Connecticut's 5th District. First of all, congratulations on winning your fight.
Well, thank you very much.
Is it exciting to be a new congresswoman in Washington?
It is exciting. It's exciting. It's certainly challenging circumstances we're in, and having gotten elected just prior to the tragedy in Newtown, that certainly colored a bit of my first few months, but it is an honor to serve people, and there's certainly ample opportunity to do better for this country, and that gets me motivated every day.
Do you think the district has shifted? It used to be a Republican district not that long ago, and yet we had Mr. Murphy, we have you, you know, doing so well. Do you think that the demographics have changed?
Well, I think some of what we're seeing, frankly, is a shift at the national Republican level. The National Republican Party, I think, has shifted to the right on social issues, and you certainly see that in my district.
So, but when you add up the Republicans and Democrats, is it pretty well the way it always was, or is it, or do you find that you're growing more blue?
I think the voting has been somewhat more blue, but again, if you look, most of our voters, the plurality, nearly the majority, are independents, are not affiliated with either party. So the most popular party is the neither of your party's party.
And
that's 45% of the voters. So that is, as I said, nearly 50% of the voters are sufficiently frustrated with parties as a principle that they vote the person, not the party.
It's interesting because I live in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, and we can take an independent ballot, basically, and walk in and tell them each time whether we want to vote in a Republican or Democratic primary. How does that work in Connecticut?
Quite to the contrary. In Connecticut, we have closed primaries.
Uh-huh.
And so our primaries, which are in the middle of August,
yep,
are limited to those registered in the party. So in the case of Democrats, that's 32% of the voters. In the case of Republicans, that's about 24% of the voters.
So if you are registered technically unaffiliated,
you're not permitted to vote in either primary, in any primary.
Since those primaries are so important in picking candidates, isn't it astounding that there are so many who say, okay, I'll forego the primaries?
It is astounding. It is astounding. And I take it as a serious wake-up call for what my district, what the people who live in Connecticut's 5th District want, and they want someone who's responsive to them, whose commitment is to the people of Northwest, Central and Northwest Connecticut, and to the country, and not to a party and not to ideology.
Okay.
They want practical problem solvers, and that's what I am, and so I'm a good fit for the district.
Well, I love what you're saying, but I'm going to try to get you in trouble. So just forewarned. Does that mean that, am I just jumping too far to say, okay, in a primary, we know all over America, Republican primary voters have been picking more and more conservative candidates, and the guys in the middle, the Republicans, the ones that my mother used to call the best of their crowd, are being defeated by right-wingers. Is that too far to go?
Well, if you look at the primary in my race last summer, that is not what happened.
Uh-huh.
So in both the Democratic and the Republican primaries, we had those of us who were seen as least ideological won our respective primaries. Although I will admit that's more unusual if you look at the country as a whole. That is not typically what happens. But I think it is what is representative of the district that I now have the honor of representing, because the majority of people really are looking for someone who does fit that independent mode, so that if you have a wide open race in this case, last year with an open seat, lots of people in both parties are trying to think about who's going to be in a position to win in the general election, who will best fit the district in a general election.
Well, I've got a lot of friends in that northwest corner, and I have to tell you, they're all thinking good people, and which may account for the difference between what we see in the rest of the country and what we see in, you know, your district.
Well, it's
how do you respond to that?
Well, I would say it is a district that's got a lot of very educated voters who pay a lot of attention to the national issues, a lot of attention to their local issues. And they are, you know, the educated voters. They're very educated voters. They're very concerned about the direction of the country, and they do their homework about all the candidates. And it's frankly a real pleasure and an honor to serve a district like this, because believe me, no matter what the issue is, I hear from constituents all over the district about their concerns on very specific issues, and it allows me to be educated and informed in a way that with the district, with voters who are less engaged, I wouldn't have that opportunity.
Is it a hard job?
It's a demanding job. I like hard, though. Hard is good.
What did you do before you were a congresswoman?
Well, I served in the state legislature in Connecticut. I was, as we say, involuntarily retired in 2010.
Interesting.
I am a lifelong death penalty opponent.
Uh-huh.
And there was a case that made quite a lot of news, the Pettit home invasion, that occurred a mile from my home, and there was a trial going on, death penalty trial going on during my reelection. And with my having voted against the death penalty, that became a very difficult position to be in the fall of 2010.
I had a show for many, many years with Governor Mario Cuomo on public radio stations around the country, actually. And, you know, I think it done him in, too, you know,
well,
at one point.
And depending on the timing, you know, timing does matter in elections. And 2010 was a difficult year for Democrats across the board. The state representative district I represented was quite Republican, historically very Republican, so...
But you only lost by 2 points, I understand.
I lost by very few, 140 votes.
140 votes. That's amazing. That's amazing. Would you do it again?
Absolutely.
In other words, your commitment is your commitment.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And in this last legislative session, the state voted again, the legislature voted again to abolish the death penalty, and the governor signed the bill.
Well, how does serving in a legislature, we only have a few minutes, but I wanted to, just because I think people loved these kinds of insights, how does serving in a legislature differ than serving in Congress? Are you more independent in Congress than you are in the legislature?
I would say in both cases, but perhaps even more so in Congress, that personal relationships are very important. And that is one of the reasons why, quite frankly, Alan is pretty dysfunctional right now. I had interned in college on Capitol Hill in the late 1970s, so you can do the math there.
I can, but I beat you by 10 years. Go ahead.
So at that time, you would see members of Congress from different parties sitting down at one of the local watering holes like the Hawk and Dove, and having, at that time I can say it was probably a steak and a beer, together, no staffers, no lobbyists, talking about how to get bills through. And frankly, that just isn't happening enough right now. And I lay much of the blame on that, on where we've gotten to around this mutually assured destruction on campaign financing, on the relentless pursuit of campaign funds, and that really must be fixed, and it's something I'm very passionate about. And having run in Connecticut under a campaign finance reform system, public financing, where I spent virtually no time and was able to spend my time doing my job all the time, I have to say we are in a very broken place in Congress around that.
What are the chances of taking the House back?
I think the chances are decent of taking it back. Now, typically, you would not expect to see that in a midterm election, much less in the second part of a second term. But it has happened. It has happened, and we are in unusual times. Again, I think the National Republican Party has gone very far from where the norm is for many Americans in ways that it's making it very difficult for many people who might otherwise think about voting Republican to vote that way.
Well, the next time we talk, we can start right there, okay?
Absolutely.